Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Here in the book of John in chapter 10 at verse 14, we find two of the I am statements that Jesus made. He repeats what he had already said in chapter 10 at verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And then twice he also says, I am the door of the sheep, verse 7, and I am the door. And here in this verse specifically, Jesus tells us that he, and of course his Father, he knows his sheep. But he also tells us that his sheep know him, and I think by implication, know his Father. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 affirms that. The Bible says, the solid foundation of the Lord stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. Now, I got to tell you, that's very comforting, that God knows us. Other passages tell us that our names are written in the book of life. And so God knows us. In this big, vast world in which we live, God knows every one of us. He knows all of you little children. He knows all of us as adults. He knows the older and all in between. He knows all of us. And I tell you what, he wants us to be his sheep. Now, he speaks of that using a metaphor that we're going to come to be able to understand, because the Bible says his sheep know him. Like David said in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. One of the most beloved psalms in all of the Bible. So we're going to use this text in the book of John in chapter 10 to talk about the shepherd and his sheep. Let me pause and let me acknowledge my gratitude to Almighty God. So good to be with you as we've come together to worship God this day. And so as I look, I notice we've got someone visiting with us. I want you to know that you're an honored guest. And I want you to know, as we study this morning, we oftentimes talk about what God has done for us. And specifically, what that means is the Father sent the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of the world. Now, Jesus was willing to come. That's his incarnation. God become man, Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh. Jesus, he came to this earth, he lived the perfect life, which qualified him to be the perfect sacrifice, and then he offered himself on the cross at Calvary, which we just remembered, his death. And of course, we know God raised him from the dead. And so this is what God has done for us in redemption. But we also know, the Bible teaches us, the many promises that God has made. Now, sometimes we fail to understand what God continues to do for us. And that's what this lesson is about. Not only what God has done, not only the promises that God has made, and he is the faithful God, but I want us to focus this morning on the things that God continues to do for us. And so let me pause and acknowledge my gratitude to God. I'm grateful for the things that God continues to do for us, the information that God provides for us, and especially this lesson that I think we can take personally and see how the shepherd cares for his sheep. Now, there are those, of course, who are his sheep, and then, of course, there are those who are in prospect, because God cares about every last one of us. And I think that's what this lesson is going to help us to understand. And so we welcome all of you and invite you to study along with us. John chapter 10 is going to be the major part of our text. But 3 points I want to make. The first, of course, we're going to come back to this text. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Matthew in chapter 9. Matthew in chapter 9 is going to help us to understand some things about the shepherd and what motivates the shepherd to love us, to care about us. The book of Matthew in chapter 9, the focus, of course, is upon Jesus. I want you to notice chapter 9 at verse 35. The Bible says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered. Listen to this. They were like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples,
The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Several things that we can make note of this text. Number one, just as there was then, so there is now. Multitudes of people who not only need to hear the gospel, but they need to obey the gospel. The second thing I want us to note is Jesus had compassion. Compassion involves empathy, putting yourself in somebody else's place. It also involves sympathy, feeling for someone in the situation that they're in that may not be good. But compassion goes beyond that. It means having sympathy and empathy, but listen to this, doing something about the situation of those who are in dire straits. But number three, Jesus saw a plentiful harvest. Number four, he recognized the lack of laborers. And then he urged for prayer for more workers. And you know what he did? He went and sent out workers. Notice chapter 10. Ignore the chapter break. The Bible tells us about the apostles that he sent on what is called a limited commission. He names them, if you will, beginning at chapter 10 at verses 2 and 3. They were to go out, cast out demons, heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. And so verse 5, he sent them out and commanded them. He told them where to go. He told them what to say. He told them, listen, to expect opposition. Ignore the chapter break. Look at chapter 11. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. That's what the shepherd is motivated by, his compassion for the sheep. And teaching is the way in which God reveals his word so people can hear and understand what God has done for them, what God continues to do, and the promises that God has made. So I want us all to know that God cares about every last one of us. And it's going to be through the teaching of his word where we come to understand not only what God has done to demonstrate that compassion, but what he wants us to recognize also. He knows his sheep. So let's go back now to the book of John in chapter 10. I want us to notice John in chapter 10, and we're going to notice how the shepherd watches and trains his sheep to watch out for wolves. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out because he knows them. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. That's because he is a leader. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Listen, not only do they know his voice, they know only his voice. And yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger, nor do they follow the voice of a stranger. And Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Now, let me tell you what, folks. Now, an illustration is something that you use to bring about a truth. Jesus used a shepherd and his care for sheep to help people to be able to understand some things about God's relationship with his people and those who would become his people. Now, first of all, leadership. Whether we're talking about in the home, the community, or even in the church, is something that is greatly needed. And the way that God has designed us was for us to follow our leaders. Of course, of all the animals that God has created in the world, you know what God did? He uses sheep to describe the relationship that he has with his people. And so what that tells us is that we are not lone wolves who can find our own way. We are not soaring eagles to see things from far away. God did not call us pets, if you will, dogs or cats or something else. He uses a metaphor as sheep. And do you know what sheep need? Sheep need leaders. Sheep needs watching over. Sheep on their own, they just don't do well. And so he uses this metaphor to help us to understand how he watches and how he trains his sheep to watch out for wolves. Well, how does he do this? Well, first of all, the Bible says he goes before them. What that means is he is an example, and he is a worthy example for us to follow. The next thing is he teaches them to hear and to know his voice. And another thing is they follow him and only his voice. Now, I want you to notice what chapter 10, verse 27 says. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. We just read that. But for emphasis, he's trying to help us to be able to understand how the sheep respond to the one that's leading them. Now, there are two verses in this text of John chapter 10 are oftentimes misinterpreted. I want you to see what they are. Look at chapter 10 and look at verse 16. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Sometimes this is interpreted as denominations, that he's talking about different people of different denominations that will hear the voice of God and there will be one flock. Well, if you stop and think about it, that doesn't make sense. How can people be divided in a religious world when there is one voice that's coming from the shepherd, but then people are following different doctrines and beliefs? He's not talking about denominations here. He's talking about the fact that these Jews would be joined together with Gentiles because the message of the gospel would go out into the whole world. And that, of course, would include you and I. There would be people who are God's people, and then there would be people who are not God's people that would be added and that would become a part of God's flock. Another passage that's oftentimes misunderstood is verse 28 of the chapter. Look at this. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard the doctrine, once saved, always saved? Have you ever heard the false doctrine, the security of the believer? Let me tell you what the security of the believer is, folks. Listening to the voice of Jesus and only listening to the voice of Jesus. Let me tell you what, folks, the eternal security of the believer, or this once saved, always saved doctrine, is a part of a doctrine called Calvinism. There is something that a person can do to not follow Jesus. They can stop listening to his voice. They cannot allow him to lead them. They could find themselves listening to those who are like wolves. They're not really telling the truth. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. Beware of what? False prophets. How do they come? They don't come like sheep. They come like those who are in sheep's clothing, but they're actually wolves. He's talking about false doctrine. He's talking about people who listen to others besides Jesus Christ. I believe this illustration that Jesus uses helps us to understand what God does for us now. We know what he did. He died for us. But he wants us to know how we can be safe and how he cares for us like a shepherd cares for his sheep. The third thing I want us to see is the shepherd provides the way to safety for the sheep. Look at chapter 10. Look at verse 7. Chapter 10, verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. One translation might say gate. This is the way of entrance into this relationship with God. And there's only one way of entrance. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them, because the shepherd trains the sheep to listen to his voice and only his voice. Now notice what he says. Again, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and I will go in and out and find pastures. Now, salvation is what's the thrust of this verse. We talk about being saved. We talk about having a relationship with God. We talk about having our sins forgiven. He's using this metaphor of a shepherd and sheep. And one of the things he's telling us very clearly, folks, he says, if you follow me. Now, remember another I am statement Jesus would make later on in John in chapter 14. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by or through me. So he is the only door. He is the only gate. He is the only way, the only truth, the only way that we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this makes sense. The book of Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, for neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. If we don't get anything else about this lesson this morning, folks, when we talk about a shepherd and his sheep, the shepherd provides the way to safety for the sheep. And I'm going to tell you what, in this religious world in which we live now, we need to hear the voice of this shepherd so we can find the peace and the safety that he's offering. Notice what else. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And notice what Jesus says in comparison. I'm not like them. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. John in chapter 10 ought to be a memory verse. We already have life, physical life, but he's talking about a different kind of life. Let me tell you what death is. Death, first of all, is separation, physical. The body without the spirit is dead. That's physical death. Spiritual death is sin. That is, our sins and our iniquities separate us from God. So we die spiritually. And when we are dead spiritually, we are without God and without hope. But Jesus came to reconcile us, to bring us back, to make a way so we can have a relationship with God. He says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Well, why does he do that, folks? Because he cares about them. He's motivated by compassion because he watches and he trains them to watch out for the wolves. Now, who do you think he's talking about, folks? He's obviously talking about them who are after the sheep. And who's after the sheep? Well, obviously, he's describing these religious leaders here. If you look in your Bibles, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 34, mark that down. Go back and look at how Israel's leaders of old, they didn't care about the sheep. They only cared about himself. And what Jesus is saying is, I am not like that. I'm not that kind of leader. I want you to know that I am the kind of leader that cares about my people. And so I want you to notice what he says. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and he doesn't care about the sheep. Well, one thing we do know, Jesus, who is the good shepherd, he cares about the sheep. But these others, they don't care about the sheep. He says again, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known by my own. And as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. And therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. So here we find, folks, how the shepherd provides the way to safety for the sheep. He's talking about his death, his burial, and his resurrection.
And of course,
this is what God has done for us. Now, we know from the book of Acts in chapter 1 that he ascended back to heaven. He is now sitting at the right hand of God. So what is he doing for us right now?
He is caring for his sheep. Well, how does he do that? Well, I want you to notice, we're going to make the application from this lesson. Look in your Bibles in the book of Acts in chapter 20.
The book of Acts in chapter 20. For those of us who are familiar with the scriptures, Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul had already been to Ephesus. And of course, in chapter 18, verse 19, we see Paul specifically, chapter 19, he comes to Ephesus. Of course, there are some things that take place. And now Paul, wanting to go back, he didn't want to stop at Ephesus because he was running. He was trying to get to Jerusalem. But so he calls for the elders. Look at chapter 20, verse 17. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus, and he calls for the elders of the church. Now, I want you to notice when he talks about the elders, we're going to see how this word elder is also a reference to the same persons who are shepherds and who are also bishops. Now, I'll explain that in just a moment. But drop down to verse 28. This is what Paul said at Miletus when he talked to the elders. He said, verse 28, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. He used the same metaphor that we saw in John 10. He calls the people of God a flock. These are God's people. This is the body of Christ. These people are added to the church of Jesus Christ. These are part of the family of God. All of those words indicate the same people. He says, you watch for yourselves. You watch for the people of God, among which the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That's how we come to understand what these shepherds do. They oversee. They watch for, just like the shepherd does for his sheep, because that's what they are. They are elders. They are bishops. They are shepherds. And so he says, he has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now that again tells us what God has done. What did he do? He sent Jesus to be the savior of the world. He purchased the church with his own blood. In Matthew chapter 16, remember he made that statement, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And he said, Peter, because you made this confession, he says, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And of course, we know Peter used those keys. The point I'm simply want to make, folks, is very simply, is the fact that the church of Jesus Christ belongs to him because he purchased it with his own blood. These people are the people of God because they are the blood-bought people he purchased with his own blood. Now, I'll illustrate that a little bit later. Now, let's bring this lesson home. Look at chapter 5 of the book of 1 Peter. That was the text that was read earlier. And I want you to notice here, very simply, the commands, there are positives, and we're going to see negatives here. He says, the elders. Now, keep in mind, he's talking about himself. This is Peter. This is one of the two letters that Peter wrote. He says, the elders who are among you. This is talking about local autonomy. In other words, elders, bishops, pastors, those men who are overseers, those men who are told to shepherd the church of God, they oversee the people that are among them. That means that not anybody else outside this building, local autonomy. These are the people that they watch for, like a shepherd does for the sheep that are among them. And so he says, who are among you, I exhort, who am a fellow elder. Now, Peter says he was an elder. He was also a bishop. He was also a pastor. Now, we read in the gospel that Peter was married, which was one of the qualifications of being an elder. Not only was Peter married, obviously he had children. Now, this text tells us of course, because he being an elder, when we look in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we look in Titus in chapter 1, we have the qualifications for an elder, a pastor, or bishop. They all are the same. And Peter, obviously, had fulfilled that. But I want you to notice also, he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And so he says the same thing that Paul here said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Now, sometimes people will take this qualification in verse 3 and they say that shepherds are only examples. But that's not true. They are examples, but not examples only. The command was given for them to oversee and inherent to those words, pastor, shepherd, bishop, elder. These are men, I might state, men who have the qualifications which all of us should have, barring maybe age as well as gender, qualifications that every Christian should aspire to be, but specifically those who are appointed because of the instructions that are given by the Holy Spirit. And so they are set apart, if you will, for this specific work of God. And so he says, when the chief shepherd appears, we know who the chief shepherd is. The chief shepherd is the one that we read about in the book of John in chapter 10. He is the chief shepherd that cares about his sheep. When he appears, that's talking about the second coming of Christ. He is coming back. Now, we've got information of what's going to happen when he comes back. But when he comes back, I'm going to tell you, the text is telling us something about the elders and what they can expect. He says, you elders, you shepherds, he says, you know what you can expect? To receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So when we talk about our elders, our bishops, our shepherds, let me tell you what. He says, you, because you have agreed to do the work of caring for God's people, you have something to look forward to. But notice what else he says. You younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Now, he's saying people here, but we know that they're sheep. And what do sheep do? They listen to his voice. They follow him. They listen only to his voice. And they follow him. And yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. And so therefore, humble yourselves in the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And obviously, this is a reference to prayer. And so God has given us not only those who are leaders, those who will go before us, those who will serve as examples, and those who will help us. And so let me tell you what, folks, shepherds, bishops, elders, they've taken a lot of grief and a lot of criticism, especially nowadays, with all the things that are going on in society. You know, some think that they could do the job better. You know, out of this come some things I think we need to know about those who are shepherds and elders and bishops and the command that they're given in Acts 20 at verse 28, as well as 1 Peter chapter 5. I think there's some things that we need to know as far as the shepherd and his sheep and what Jesus has done and those who have been chosen according to the instructions given by the Holy Spirit, that we need to recognize the work that our shepherds do. First of all, shepherding the flock is a lot harder than it looks, because so often elders make decisions that personally they'd rather see otherwise. But oftentimes, for the sake of the local congregation, for the good of all, those decisions sometimes must be made. You know, when we're at home on our couch, maybe only seeking things from our perspective, their job might seem pretty simple. Maybe just to you and I, just black and white. They're elders, and this is what they do. But you know what? The shepherds need to consider the younger families. The shepherds need to consider the widows. The shepherds need to consider the widowers. The shepherds need to consider those among us who might be sick. The shepherds need to consider those who might have diseases. They need to consider the well families as well as the young families and the senior citizens, as well as those sometimes, and I think this is sometimes we take for granted, those who travel a long way just to get to the building. They need to consider all the sacrifices that people make so that they can simply do what God wants them to do. Because all the time, it could be easily, it could be discouraged. And you look among the saints here at Prudent Lobe, there's a mixture among us. You know, there are those who are strong, there are those who are solid, you can always count on. But sometimes there are those who are weak. It won't take much, you know, to blow them over, if you will. And let me tell you something, folks. It's a lot harder than it looks. The job of the elders is not to make everybody happy. I mean, not at all. You know what that job is? To keep us going spiritually. To make sure we don't give up. It's to see us growing and getting closer to the Lord. Now, that might not make everybody happy, but that's part of what the job is in shepherding, like a shepherd does. Can you imagine the metaphor? Can you imagine caring for sheep? Second of all, there's always a context which most of us are not aware of. And I think this is especially true with discipline. Because the time comes to announce discipline upon a member. And of course, sometimes people will say things like, well, why haven't you talked to him? Well, why now? Truth is, months and sometimes months and talks and working with people, it doesn't present many results. And so they think about, they pray about, they study, they talk with people. And sometimes people don't know what goes into the things that have to take place when elders have to make decisions. And then number three, it's a whole lot easier to talk about what needs to be done than it is to actually do something. One of the hardest things I think for elders to do is work with people. I remember Jesus said in the book of Matthew in chapter 18, woe to the world because of offenses, because offenses must come. You know what he's saying? As long as you have people, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have people problems. And the wisdom of God, he sought that out to help us. You know what elders got to deal with? They got to deal with attitudes. They got to deal with backgrounds. They got to deal with baggage that come from people who may sometimes just sit back and watch. And you ought to be doing this, or this needs to be done. You know, they're kind of like a backseat driver in an automobile. Or they're kind of like an armchair quarterback. And I think all of us might be guilty of that. But who is it that actually gets the work done? Who is it that's actually trying to oversee, trying to make sure things are being done right? Because while many of us are talking, even complaining, or worse, gossiping, you know, the shepherds are doing the work that God wants them to do. Good shepherds do. And we may not see what they're doing, but I'm going to tell you what. They're busy. It's easier to talk about what needs to be done than to actually be doing it. And I can tell you something you can do, folks. You can go to the elders and you can ask the elders, what can I do? You can ask him, how can I help? And you can lend your hand and you can make the work at Prudent Lobe, but a more efficient work, especially in light of the fact that some have left us. And obviously there's a need for more to come to the forefront. And may I say this, those of you who have done that, there are those of you who have come to the forefront. You recognize that there are few of us, and you've joined in. You understand how God is working with us now to do for each one of us at this place. And so with that, I say thank you to our elders and their wives. And I also say thank you to our deacons and your wives and what you do. And I also say to the other men and women who are working in this congregation and who sometimes may not even be recognized. But let me tell you what, he knows your name. They know him. He knows you. And we can take comfort in that. And then number four, true shepherds, true elders, true bishops, true pastors.
You know what they're really looking out for?
They're really looking out for our best interests. When they plan a gospel meeting, whether we realize it or not, it's not just because it's the spring or the fall, but because they believe that the congregation needs a boost. They need to be built up. And you and I may not even want to come. And you and I may have other things that may keep us busy. But they know what we need. They know we need gospel preaching. And rather than diving into the spiritual feast, many of us sometimes, you know, we may roll our eyes, we may pout, you know, we may complain about gospel meeting. But let me tell you what, folks, this is something that God is doing for us now. I don't know if we see it that way. I mean, just like VBS, it was something that God is doing for us now. And whether we value those things, the things that are being planned, the things that are going on, and we'll talk about teaching tonight, but I think it's a good thing what was announced this morning about a women's class. I don't know if, I know some of you know, that Sister Virgie, you know what she did? She started, or helped it start, at least a Bible class every Tuesday morning at Birdsong. We've been doing that for more than a year now. There are members here at this place who come every Tuesday morning, and we study the Bible together. And that's a good thing. You may not even know that. But let me tell you what, there are things that are going on at this place sometimes we don't even know. And there are people involved in things that sometimes we don't know because they work behind the scenes. And last but not least, if not even more important, folks, shepherds, they love the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something else. They love the Lord's people. Now, let me bring this lesson home, folks. When we talk about shepherds, when we talk about pastors, when we talk about elders, we're talking about the ones who lead us and guide us here at Prudent Lord. We're talking about Brother Mickey Harrell and his wife. We're talking about Brother Weldon Butler and his wife. We're talking about keeping them in our hearts, our minds, and our prayers. I think we need to make mention of them by name when we pray to the Father. And what can we pray for? Well, like John said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, we pray that you might be in good health. We pray that you may prosper so you can take care of your families even as you take care of the family of God. We pray that God would watch over them and protect them so they can protect us. And when we see them, instead of complaining, you know what you can do, folks? You can say thank you. Thank you for the hard work you do. Thank you for the sacrifices you make. Thank you for caring enough about us to serve. And this is why they are leading us. It's certainly not for the pay, because most don't even receive any pay. And it's not for the praise, because that's oftentimes missing. The complaints, you know, the weak hearts, the indifferent spirits. There are people sometimes don't even want to forgive. There are people who are stubborn. There are sometimes people who don't want to change no matter what. And that's what shepherds sometimes have to deal with. And why? They do so because they love the Lord and they love his people. And they want to try to make things better. They want to leave the church better than it was when they first came. And even though there may be some that may leave, you know, like that passage back in the book of John in chapter 10, nobody can snatch them out of my hand. People can leave of their own volition. They can decide to go somewhere else. They may not like the shepherds. They may not like the leadership that they're providing. They may go somewhere else. But let me tell you what. The message for you and I, God cares about his people. It's compassion. He warns us to listen to his voice and only his voice. And he wants to lead us to safety. And I believe that that's the same thing that our elders want to do for you and I. And if you're here this morning and you're not a member of the flock of God, you are not one of his sheep. I want you to know that God loves you. He cares about you. Here's a takeaway. Shepherds must not ever forget their God-given work. Regardless of the response, the complaints, the murmurs, whatever it is that the sheep do. There's still a flock of God's people. There is still the church here at Port and Lobin. These are the people who are among you. God says you are the shepherd.
And God's people, all of us, we must hear, we must follow, and we must obey.
And even though there may be others who may not, may we be the kind of people who recognize that God is caring for us right now. And this is one of the ways he cares for us, by the leadership that is provided. Are they perfect? By no means are they perfect. But just like every last one of us, we've made mistakes in our lives. But they're examples. And we can and should be examples too. So if you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, I want you to recognize that the Lord wants you to come. Other sheep I have, which are not of this flock. But if you're not of the Lord's flock, he wants you to be a part of his flock. In John 6, verse 37, he says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. What does that mean? If you will hear the voice of God, and only his voice, and if you will come to him, you have his word that he'll save you. Let me tell you what that plainly means. He'll forgive you of your sins, and he'll teach you how to live your life free from sin. And you'll have the care, the comfort, the direction, and the leadership that our chief shepherd provides for all of us. And that's the invitation. If you would respond, we'd be busy to come. While together, we stand and sing
as we're heaven bound.